Nice, yeah. Well, I'm always nice, mate. Should I? Do I have to answer that one?
No, okay. You definitely don't. Well, but some individuals were identified by the media over the last couple of days as being responsible for the loss. Do you think that you want a team-based approach to solving problems straight up?
Yeah, well, look, we're 4-2, and I think the results of the early part of the season indicate that any win that you get is well earned, and they're going to be hard to come by. So the wins that we've put in place have been off the back of really solid team football and contribution of most. We lacked the contribution of most in the game on Friday night against Geelong, and for the first time internally in review, we question our effort, especially through that first 10 minutes and through the first half. So, look, the focus might go on one or two or three, but in the end, we understand, the players understand, and the coaches as well, the program itself, that we lowered our colours. That being said, Geelong were exceptional through that first half in particular, and, we need to be better to be competitive, let alone have the scoreboard go our way.
What's the biggest lesson you reckon the players learned out last week? Was it the effort, or was it in their other areas as well?
Oh, look, I think it's just a constant reminder that football is a challenging environment. You need to be on your game flat out, from the first siren to the last. And, we played a good patch of footy sort of late in the second through the third, early last, which looked like was going to put us back in contention. But you don't, St Kilda are the exception with the Bulldogs on the weekend, but you don't win many games from 10 goals down, and that's where the game was lost. And as I said, Geelong played some fantastic footy, but we had a part to play in that as well.
You went to the game ranked first in just possessions in the comp. What tweaks have you made? They lost the count, obviously, on Friday night. What tweaks have you made for this week against Richmond?
Yeah, I suppose when the effort's not there, you don't go questioning your methods. So when we got the right effort, the contested ball numbers looked okay for us. As I said, it's that's an isolated thing for us in that first six rounds. It's the first time that we've actually seen that. So our boys have been first class with it, but we are a young group and we're still learning around how that fits, and you're going to fall over every now and then, you're going to succeed, and being able to handle both of those is a continual challenge for everyone, and is representative of growth, I reckon, for us, growth opportunities.
Did they give an explanation for that lack of effort in that first 10 minutes? Is that something you put back on the group?
Oh, well, I think it's always a little bit about you versus your opponent. I'm sure we went out and gave energy and effort, but when it paled in comparison to what the opposition brought, and that's the same week by week. You only really need to meet and surpass the energy that your opposition bring on any given weekend, and that ebbs and flows. And the best teams do it better more often, and the bad teams, or the teams that aren't as successful in this period, they do it less often. So it's a challenge for us to keep bringing our best to the table.
You're in the bottom of the comp for the same appearances.
Yeah.
What are you doing to improve on that, considering you've got seasoned personnel
for them? Yeah, look, we've been throwing it around a little bit. Our midfield depth has been tested, but I think we've stood up pretty well. Brody Grundy's been rucking particularly well also, and had Jared Witts for support, Corey Gold or Jesse White over the last sort of 4 to 6 weeks. The last 2 weeks have concerned us. Carlton were plus 10, I think, and I think Geelong were about plus 8, plus 9 centre clearances. It puts some pressure. It puts pressure on your defence. It gives up ground position and field position to the opposition. So, we're working on it constantly. Whether it's looking at tape or taking the time out on the track, and with a longer break this week, we've spent a bit of time on it.
It's actually
Woodsarves
going penalty. Yeah. So you impacted that as well. What did Penrith learn from
Yeah, well, it's not on the team, it's on the coaches. And we picked it up relatively quickly. I mean, we knew that Blitzhouse was going with him, but with everything that was that we weren't doing, we didn't get that message down to Pendles until sort of 10 minutes into the game. You asked me, what did Pendles learn about it? I mean, he learns very quickly, and by the end of the game, he had it sussed and worked out, and it had a fairly strong influence on the last part of the game, in particular sort of through the late part of the second quarter when we were playing our best footy, to the point that Chris Scott or the Geelong match committee, you know, saw him in the best five players on the field, so in the coaches' votes. Pendles is a professional. He's a competitor. He wants to succeed. He'll accept any challenge that's put to him, and he'll find a way around it, as he did. Yeah, he trained well, and has taken the required steps over the last couple of weeks, and fully expect him to play. And this is where the real test comes because for all that we do out in the training track, there's an extra 5-10% of intensity that you need to get to, and he's got to get that at VFL level, and then once he's consolidated that and he's in form, then he needs to find it at AFL level. So there's still plenty of hurdles for Reedy to jump. And one thing that we do know is internally that we've been really consistent with our process over the off-season to give him a chance, and that he's absolutely thrown everything into it. His professionalism's been first class to give himself a chance of getting up to speed. Yeah. Faz's last 2 weeks have been excellent, and I'm not talking about kicks, marks, and handballs, or how many goals he kicks, or anything else. His Faz's challenge is to understand where he fits in with the team, and to play for his teammates, and to understand that his role is just a part of what we're trying to do. So, and I've got to say that his attitude has been first class at accepting that feedback and acting upon it. We're really encouraged by the way that he's approached the last couple of weeks in particular, and looking for him to continue in that vein, because I think he's clearly got a lot of talent, but. Without focusing on Faz too much, I mean, we want to provide every opportunity to each of our individuals, but Faz he's come in the right direction. We're really, really bullish about what we can get in the mid to latter part of the year. Seed's going well. Trained well today. Trained on Friday. We expect him to be available for selection. Still be another week. At least. So we've got to work out how that thumb settles. As he's had the guard off for a week now, and he's handling the balls, but albeit a little gingerly at the moment. He needs to get strength back into the hand, and we're rehabbing that as diligently as we can to get him up to speed. It'd be nice to have his leadership back.
Have you been concerned with Nathan Freeman and what you actually do there? You had a few soft tissue injuries there over the past few years.
Yeah.
What can you do? It's probably pretty hard. What can you do to stop those?
Well, I think it's league-wide, competition-wide. We've got our heads in the sand. From last year to this, we've built on some of our protocols, and we've shifted some others. Our weights and strength and conditioning elements are as strong as they can be over the last 18 months in particular. We've lost a few, but I think we're about, I don't know if we're any worse than the rest of the competition. The demands of the game have gone through the roof. The injury status, not just for us but across the competition, is, if you sit down and have a look, it's extreme. I find the direction that the league intend to head with, you know, capping rotations even further, I question how that actually helps the players get up to speed and stay healthy and off the injury lists with what with the evidence that's been presented. We'd love four interchange so that we can manage and control load a little bit better, and we'd love to maintain that flexibility in rotations so that players aren't put under any more duress than they are at the moment. The demands of the game are huge, and clearly at the moment we're clubs across the land are struggling to find that balance between preparing them well enough for the intensity of a game and be able to look after their players for the duration of a season.
So you fear that it could get worse if we don't do something pretty soon?
Well, we've capped. The idea of the cap was to was to protect players. There was a bit about fairness, but there was always a bit about, you know, is the game becoming too fast? Are we seeing too many collision injuries? You know, one of the side effects of reducing the interchange is that you're asking players to be out there more, at intensity, more fatigue. You're going to see more soft tissues. I don't know the pure numbers, but they definitely wouldn't be better. And if that was indeed an intent of capping rotations, I don't think we've seen it.
In particular, Nathan, is it a worry that
Yeah.
Is that something you guys are going to have to manage throughout his career?
Yeah,
you talk about a lot of
training loads. Yeah, well, he had a serious hamstring injury at the beginning of last year, and it took most of the year to recover. I mean, he's a fast twitch athlete, speed and power. So when those type of athletes do a soft tissue, especially at pace, it's going to ask a little bit more for their recovery. So it took most of last year to get him back. He had a really solid off-season and pre-season, and he was tearing the track up. But when we got into the games, once again, the demands of the game, and only at VFL level, but the intensity demands in a game and the change of direction, you're less in control of how your body reacts to different circumstances and stimulus in a game scenario. And his communication back to us has been that he's just felt like his hammy hasn't been right, that there's been something preventing him from really opening up. We've tried a number of different things over the last 8 weeks to see what that may be, and the docs and the surgeons have come to the point that we're going to need a surgical intervention to potentially explore whether there's some scar tissue wrapped around a nerve there that's causing the distress for Freo. So we've got a young player there who wants to make an impact, who wants to make a mark, but for some reason he just can't open right up, and his number one asset has been taken from him. So we need to get that right. We need to give him every chance. Clearly he's a long-term perspective prospect for us. We don't need him to be at his best in round 7, 2015. We see him as a long-term player, and we want to give him every chance to get to that.
Nathan, were you surprised as most of us the decision
to I read that this morning, and well, I don't know. I think it's nearly more of the same, isn't it? I'm at arm's length to it. Obviously, the Essendon Footy Club has consumed them for a best part of 3 years, and the AFL. I think that'll take due process and due course. We think that we always suspected that this was a possibility. But, yeah, really, I'm at arm's length for that. Don't know the facts. I trust the medicos to make the right call. Our guys are first class. And in the end, we've got our hands full dealing with all our issues here to be commenting on others, mate.